Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Ian Pickus. My guest, Sam Donaldson, found himself on the other side of the news cycle recently when the retired ABC anchor and reporter endorsed former New York City Mayor Mike Bloomberg for president. It came as a bit of a shock in the journalism industry as Donaldson put aside a lifetime of impartiality to weigh in on the race for the White House. Donaldson joins us now to discuss his choice and why he decided to make it public. Well, let's start there.
Okay, Ian. Glad to be with you. When I worked for 52 years in the news business, of course, I never endorsed anyone. I had my preferences. Everybody does. But I tried to keep them to myself and keep them out of my work in straight news work. But then I was retired. For years now, I've been retired. And this time is so important in my mind, the election next November, if we don't get it right. I said, I'm going to get in this. I'm going to try to do something. And the one person I could see that was best able to not only be president next, but to beat Donald J. Trump is Mike Bloomberg. And I signed on as an unpaid volunteer.
Why do you think he's the best candidate to beat President Trump? And we should say that we're talking on Super Tuesday, but before we have those results in.
Well, as Harry Truman used to say, let's look at the record. His record is of a guy who, in one room, started and built an empire in the news information business. That is the business news information business that is unequaled in the world. Made a lot of money doing it with the help of all the people that he paid well that worked with him. He was able to do what all of us would love to do if we're going to be entrepreneurs, be that successful. Second, though, he has demonstrated by being the mayor of New York City for three terms and improving the city. The statistics are there. It's not just me saying, hey, please believe me. For instance, cut the murder rate. Now, not by himself, of course not, and not just in one way or the other, because Mike is a data guy. He looks at the data, what works, what doesn't work. Try and error and keep on with what's working. And he improved the city in so many other ways. He is the only person now in the race with the former mayor of a small town in Indiana, Pete, out of the race, who has ever had the executive experience of actually running a large political entity. The larger one, of course, is the United States. He is ready to be president. And he has demonstrated in the tough politics of New York, not just as a businessman, but as a man running the city, he can take on a political opponent and beat them. He did three times, and he can beat Donald J. Trump.
Let me run through some of the criticisms we're hearing in the Democratic primary field and have you take a swing at them.
Please.
We have a very rich man in the White House right now, and a lot of people say it's just not what American politics is supposed to be about, to have a billionaire spend a limitless amount of money on ads and so on in order to win a race.
I wish it weren't what the politics of today is about, money. But with Citizens United, that Supreme Court decision, which said anyone can give any amount of money to these PACs that support a candidate. And they do. We're in this race with the money going to be very important. Mike has a lot, and he's put his own into it and will continue to do that. So if he's elected president, he doesn't owe anyone. No one can come and say, well, Mike, you know, you're there because I had a few million that I gave your PAC, and I'd like a little help in a tax bill. That won't happen. But on the other side, we have Sheldon Adelson and Steve Wynn, two very fine men who own casinos in Las Vegas, and other people with millions and millions of dollars, billions, who are supporting Donald J. Trump. So I'll take Mike's money over theirs, because if Trump is reelected, he owes them. Mike owes no one.
Okay. What about the idea that he's a latecomer to the Democratic Party? You've got a lot of people voting in this primary who have given their life to that party's politics. He was for George W. Bush in 2004. He hasn't run as a Democrat before. Why should the party go with him?
Well, he hasn't run as a Democrat before, although he was a Democrat all of his life, up to the point where he decided to run for the mayoralty of New York. And at that moment, the only way to get there was to play I'm a Republican, which he was, and he signed on, and he did his part for that party. And when he left, he became an independent. So to say, well, Ronald Reagan used to say, well, you know, I didn't leave the Democratic Party. The Democratic Party left me. People do change parties for various reasons. Mike now is back as a Democrat. Bernie is not a Democrat. He hasn't joined the Democratic Party. So you can take that into factor, and I can't tell you what to think about it, except keep your eye on the prize, defeating Donald Trump.
Let's look at the math. You know, Joe Biden had a big comeback after winning the South Carolina primary, and then several of his rivals, Beto O'Rourke, Pete Buttigieg, and Amy Klobuchar have endorsed him. And Bernie Sanders, of course, with Iowa and New Hampshire, the early contests had the delegate lead. So is there actually a path for Mike Bloomberg, who, as we speak, hasn't won a contest yet, to win this nomination?
Yes, there is. He got in late, you're right. He wasn't able to organize to be on the first ballots. It was not a path that made any sense. But he's organized to be on the ballots today, and he'll get some delegates. Now, if you ask me, well, how many, Sam? I don't know. I can't tell you how many. We'll know once the counting and the 15% district requirement and all of that is done. And I assure you there will be some ballots that say Bloomberg and have given him delegates. Now, then we go on, because he's going to go on. He's in this all the way. Yes, Joe Biden, a fine person in many ways, was revived after losing four times from the standpoint of the race up to that point in South Carolina. Will it hold? Will it keep on? We'll see that, too. I can't give you a lot of predictions, except I think as the delegates in March are selected, and we'll have 66% of them for the convention by the end of March, you're going to see Bernie still ahead, and you're going to see Biden with some delegates too, but you're going to see Mike Bloomberg right there in the race, and I think the three of them then will go to the convention.
President Trump has historically low approval ratings, and we know that in the last election, while he won the Electoral College, he lost the popular vote by 3 million or so votes. So it really came down to about 80,000 votes in some key states. Why can't former Vice President Biden or Senator Sanders beat him?
Well, I think they're not the people to take him on. This is going to be a thuggish race on the Trump side. You think that man, you've seen what he's capable of doing, how he talks, what he thinks, how he acts. You think that man and his merry band of helpers are not going to try everything? He was taught by Roy Cohn, the lawyer who was Joe McCarthy, the senator in the 50s who was looking for communists everywhere, how to do it. And what Cohn taught him was win. Win by any means, whether it's legal, illegal, we'll take care of it. Win no matter who you hurt. Never concede a point. Never apologize. Just win. And that's the kind of race he's going to fight. And it's going to take someone as tough as Mike to fight against him. And I frankly, again, I've already said I think Biden's a very fine fellow. I do mean that. I do not think he has it in him. I do not think that fire in the belly is in him to do it. I think it's in Mike's.
Let me just bring it back to you, Mr. Donaldson. Now, I consider you...
Oh, call me Sam. Call me Sam, Ian, please.
Well, I consider you a legend of our field. I mean, truly. A lot of people have been saying that by you making an endorsement in the race, it changes their perspective on your career. You know, you spent so many decades in the trenches, and now they're seeing you as more of a partisan. I'm just wondering what do you make of that criticism?
Well, I am a partisan now. I'm happy to tell people I've joined the Democratic Party, and I'm for Mike Bloomberg, who is a Democrat, for the nomination for president. Now, when I was a reporter, and all the other reporters I knew did the same thing, I tried to keep my view of a situation out of my work. For instance, if you're a reporter, as I traveled for many years on the bus behind a candidate for president, my first one was, believe it, in 1964,
quite a race.
I developed a view of that person. I mean, can you consider that a reporter who watches, who takes notes, who understands the trends, has no idea who he's following, whether he thinks he's good or bad, but he keeps it out of your view, out of his work then. Now I'm retired. I am free, since I am not holding myself out to people as a reporter trying to keep my view out of my work, but as someone who is telling you my view, and you can take it or leave it, I hope you consider it, why is that somehow debasing the people who are still working or debasing me when I was working? gosh, to say you're now a private citizen, but you don't have the right, because you once had to do that, which I did. You don't have the right now to engage in politics. I reject that logic. I think it's illogic.
I guess there's just this argument that we hear a lot that, especially from conservatives, that, you know, the press has a liberal bias. They're out to get the president. They're out to get President Trump. And when something like this, like you coming out to make an endorsement happens, you know, they kind of paint with a broad brush about the entire ecosystem.
Well, they can paint anybody they want to. Working against the press, beating the press, Richard Nixon had an anti-press view going. It didn't work. I don't think it's going to work ultimately for Trump. I think people understand what we're doing. When I was a reporter covering the White House, I understood that the man up there was the President of the United States, and I wasn't, and I tried to play it straight. I had my own views, obviously. But I tried to, in playing it straight, report what he did right and what he did good when his critics were dumbfounded by how Ronald Reagan, or even Jimmy Carter in the early parts of his presidency, or Bill Clinton. And yet, I know the conservatives think that I was out to get Ronald Reagan. And then, however, when I asked the same kind of questions of Bill Clinton, they said, well, my son, maybe you've aged and you've learned a little bit. We normally listen, unfortunately, to news broadcasts and say, that guy agrees with my view. He must be a good reporter. Or, hey, how could he possibly say that about someone that I idolize in public life? But that doesn't work. And I think the reporters today have it much tougher than I did. Look who they have to cover. I always covered presidents who were gentlemen in public, who didn't use vulgarity in public, who treated people around them, as far as I could tell, as people that deserved to be treated right. Not this man.
As we're having this conversation, there's been a lot of debate about a comment that Peter Baker, the eminent New York Times political reporter, made. He says that not only, you know, doesn't he back a candidate publicly in his job, but he won't even vote because he himself will know that he has a bias in a certain situation. So I take it that you don't agree with that.
A former managing editor, not Ben Bradley, of the Washington Post felt the same way. Listen, folks, it's a secret ballot. You don't have to tell anyone, you shouldn't tell anyone if you're working in the news business, how you voted. But you are a citizen like everyone else, and you have an obligation to cast that one vote. Oh, one vote doesn't matter. Yes, it does. I can show you race after race in this country and around the world where one vote, 10 votes, make the difference. So, I mean, with due respect to people who feel that way, I'm not going to call them bad. I think they're misguided and wrong. Our democracy depends on everyone voting. Keep it secret. You don't have to let anyone know what your view is. Call it a prejudice. Call it a bias. It's a bias if I'm going to vote for this candidate for president rather than that candidate for president, obviously. But it's a bias based on my judgment of what's best for the country. Could be wrong, but there you are. So I got to say, Peter, go ahead and vote. Please vote. Just don't tell anyone how you voted.
That's Sam Donaldson, the retired ABC News anchor and now volunteer surrogate for the White House campaign of New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg. Sam, thank you so much.
Goodbye and thanks.
And you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.